Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yes, WTIC is who we are, where we are, what we're doing. George St. Louis, hi.
Hi, Todd. I want to take everyone back to what set this old off. Do you remember the grandmother was arguing with the gunman about his cell phone bill?
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall that? Yeah. Anyway, if we hadn't had such high inflation, the grandmother would have never needed the money. What you're seeing is the results of high inflation and the survival, the violence that's results from people that can no longer afford even a loaf of bread anymore.
You have a point there. The cruelty of bad governance is expensive, the stress it puts on people's lives.
He had an iPhone 13, though. So he had the newest iPhone 13 Pro. It had the three cameras.
This is going to be the interesting thing to find out. Who was supplying these funds to this kid?
Yeah. Well, that's who knows.
He spent $5,000 or something on weapons. And one of those is $1,000, right?
Yeah, it's around like $1,500 sometimes, yeah, for one.
Wow. I mean, never mind. He's just nuts, this kid.
It's the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
We've been talking all day about the same thing that we talked about yesterday all day, that everybody's been talking about all day, and that's the only thing there is to talk about all day. All the stuff that is in our faces from this horrible event in Texas. And it's good to have this vantage point. It's a different vantage point, but it's a healthy one, because we can view these same issues through a different context. The context of the crumbling. We see the crumbling. Having a measure of a thing like mass shootings and being able to watch it explode as a fad, not having just come on the scene but been on the scene for 25 years or so, it's pretty incredible. But it's coming right after COVID. If you look at the numbers, the expansion of events starts unfolding right as COVID hits. And don't you think that when you stress people out, when you break the structures of our economy, and the economy is everything in a society, virtually, you need enough organization from government or from wherever it might come otherwise so that business can be done, so economic activity can happen. That's what you need, enough order for economic activity. And these guys are so cavalier about their lust for power, the Jolly Neds and all the other governors, so desperate for their need for more control, that they thought nothing of shutting down the world, telling kids they can't go to school, telling people they can't open their businesses. Do you remember when they started to reopen and It was, we can't do hair salons this week. Where I'm going to delay it another 2 weeks. I just want to keep you safe. And people still are dumb enough to believe that there's something sincere behind this, a sincere desire to keep people safe, which, of course, would require first that they had any idea how to keep us safe in front of COVID, but more importantly, that they thought there was some way that they could keep us safe, i.e. shutting down schools, shutting down the economy, telling people they can't go to work, putting people out of business. Huge destruction to daily life, to the order and predictability of life that we require. And we would have to believe that they're so dumb, that Ned is so dumb. And believe me, it's easy to believe that he's pretty dumb. But still, I don't think he's so dumb that he wouldn't understand that huge and dangerous and unpredictable repercussions were inevitable from a big public policy belly flop, like unnecessary shutdowns, by overblowing a public health event. Forget about the people who died just because of his bad leadership and bad management. The thousands of people, seniors in nursing homes. But this continues to ripple through our society, and these shootings are part of it. That's my point. 860-522-9842. Margaret, hello there, Margaret. Wait a sec. Let me try that again. Hi, Margaret.
Thing to St. Louis, George. Figure it out. You get one call a day. You were waxing poetic about days gone by. What you and Tom and Chris Powell want is the return to the American form of Sharia law. You want male violence. And to those guys...
All right, Margaret, you're being ridiculous now. I want nothing of the sort. What I want is the American system of government. You had one word correct there. I want the American system of government, which you also mock and say is crazy, but that's just how I am. Juan in East Hartford. Hi, Juan.
There is no economic gain for this guy. There is no magic solution that will create an economic mainstream of funds under future. There's no residual income for these politicians that are coming up for solutions. So as long as that is that way, they'll never do anything that will actually help the problem.
Are you talking about the Chris Murphys of the world?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Ned Lamonts?
Yeah, they're all talkers. They talk a big game. They do things to help themselves personally. And we just turn the other cheek around. And then when something so drastic, all I can remember is my kids were 5 and 6 when Newtown happened. And, mm-hmm. and I ran home and I held those kids. And I can't put myself in the position of anybody that's gone through what just went through. But as a parent, it's devastating to see that your cherished child, the one you made, that the little human being that possesses 50% of your DNA, 50% of you, is so defenseless and so vulnerable like this. I just don't have words for it. It gets me into a place, and what makes me angry is that these politicians just come out and talk about, you know, they're quick to point the finger everywhere, but they don't have any solutions. And the solutions, if there's no economic gain for them, there's no solution. And it's just disgusting. It really is disgusting. And, you know, everybody's also going around and saying, this guy, you know, if he hadn't done this, if he hadn't done that, you know, let everything settle down. Let's figure it out. I mean, we found out about Parkland that, you know, there was a cop that was running away from the building because he was scared of going in. You know, but we found that months later that the system was really not set up.
So we should have avoided the conversation for months until we learned that?
No, but I think you know, opinions are good and talking about it is good. But you know, we really can't come up with a real grip of what happened until, you know, we let it all unfold. And it's like with anything in life, we really need to see what the circumstances before we make.
Well,
decisions.
It's true,
like,
but at the same time, Juan, there will always be new developments. As you said, it took months before we knew, or maybe longer than months, about that security guard down
at
Parkland.
My wife makes a good point. She says that all of this is lack of access to health care, mental health care, and the stigma that's associated with mental health. I mean, she's absolutely right.
Tell her you're not a secretary, Juan. You don't take dictation. She can get on the phone herself if she wants to tell us.
She won't get on the phone.
Come on now. A little respect.
Todd says you ought to get on the phone. Here, get on the phone.
I'm sorry to interrupt the phone call, but, you know, my perspective is that in this country, we have a problem about addressing mental health, especially in our youth.
Yep.
People don't want to talk about it. They don't want to bring it to the forefront. Everyone's embarrassed. They feel shame.
No, because wait a sec. What's your name?
My name is Sarah.
Sarah, if you think about it from the point of view of how in-your-face mental health problems are currently with the opioid crisis, we did a segment a couple, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. It was amazing. The people talking about their kids and how there's nothing available for their, when somebody's addicted to a drug and they put them, maybe they can get a bed for 2 weeks. What can you accomplish in 2 weeks of rehab?
You can't accomplish anything. And I can speak from personal experience that I have a young son who's 10 that suffers from mental health issues. And from my experience, the resources are almost nothing. And we have had to fight and claw for everything. And we live in West Hartford, which is an extremely wealthy community that supposedly has so many resources. And you have to fight like hell to get those resources. And this shooting happened in a community of I think it was 80% of the children were from disadvantaged economic homes. So you think, what was the access to mental health care for those children? Nothing. And probably it was great. It was mostly Hispanic. So their parents were probably first generation. There was probably a language barrier. So you think about the access to that health care for the mental health care for that 18-year-old that committed this crime. It probably didn't exist. And you think about all the other dominoes that keep happening with these children that have access to these guns and have mental health problems. And there's no one there to address it. And we are abandoning our children because we are not putting the mental health crisis that we are suffering into the forefront. That's what I want to hear politicians talk about, not about gun control, about the mental health crisis that we have. You see it plastered all over the place in these liberal news outlets, New York Times, everything. But when it comes down to it, where's the access? Why aren't the politicians doing something about that? And that really is the crux of this whole issue. But everyone wants to make it about gun control. No, it's not about that. Look at the root causes of the issue. And that's what we're not addressing here. And everyone brings up that, oh, European countries, wealthy countries, they don't have these issues. You know why? Because their access to health care, they have socialized medicine. I'm not saying I'm an advocate for socialized medicine, but it makes it a lot easier to access than our current system, where you have to bring your child to CCMC if, God forbid, they're suicidal, and they have to be in a bed in a hallway for 2 weeks. And that's for a parent who's advocating for their child. How about all the children in Hartford who have no one to advocate for them, or in our poor communities who have no one to advocate for them? You know what where they're going? They're the next prison population. But you know what? I'm going to end there because I could keep going on about this issue. And it's just too bad that no one wants to wake up and stand up for that. Everyone wants to talk about it because it sounds like it's a good talking point. But when the tires hit the road, no one wants to do anything about that. And that's the sad part. And this is going to keep on happening. They could make gun laws from now until the day of end of time, but they're not going to stop the violence in our schools and in our places of worship and in the public sphere if they don't address the mental health crisis, because no quote-unquote normal person is probably going to walk into a school and kill a bunch of second graders. So we need to wake up in this country and be honest with ourselves. And that's what I have to say.
Sarah,
about
that was beautiful.
Would you do me a favor
and tell Juan whenever he gets the urge to call to hand the phone to you?
I knew you were going to say that.
All right. Okay.
That was spectacular.
You hear him in the back. I can't call anymore. That's
Juan is banned.
Juan, you can call the food hour, Juan.
You can call Juan. You just have to hand the phone to Sarah. That's all. That was spectacular. Now, think about this. The reason the Democrats would be well served to actually put some money where their mouths are on mental health care, which they've never done. They talk about it. Talk about how much they love you, how much compassion they have. But the thing is, they've squandered the greatest wealth in the history of mankind. These Democrats have. Big government has. Republicans, a little bit of responsibility. But Democrats advocate for the squandering of money and manipulate for the squandering of money. It's not that the money doesn't get spent. It's that the money goes to reelection schemes. So they have unions to arrange for the overpayment and overbenefiting and overly expensive government, because all those people are part of a network that benefits from the riches that have been stolen from us and depleted. And it wouldn't be so bad if we were just broke, because if we were just broke, you know what? There's enough money coming in every year that you could afford to take care of things like provide beds for drug-addicted young people who need help. But they have driven us off a cliff of debt. The state of Connecticut is $150 billion in debt. The federal government, even the part they tell us about, is $30 trillion. In both cases, those are small numbers. It's much bigger. But they lie in the reporting of the numbers and put things in places where you can't see them, so that you talk about numbers that are smaller. But the actual number doesn't matter. Just know that this was the richest nation. And the post-World War II era created more wealth than mankind has ever seen a nation create. And it's not just all gone, but we're in brutal, unpayable debt. And because of the squandering of the assets that people like this current government that has controlled the state of Connecticut for 40 years has squandered, that squandered money is what could be providing us a quality of life we deserve. And foolish people who are smart and educated fall for the same dumb arguments, even when the failure is right there in front of our faces if you read one or two stories in the newspaper every month.
WTIC News Talk 1080.
Oh, yeah. This is cool. All right. We've got Leibowitz we have to go to first, then we'll get to you, Eric. Michael, what's up?
Hello, Todd. So I've been listening to the discussion about the tragedy with this shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, it never ceases to amaze me whenever this type of thing happens, that everybody just goes to their ideological corner and sees things through that lens and to talk about what's causing it. And on the left, of course, that's always going to be guns. And on the right, it's always, well, maybe there's not enough fathers, or the family's breaking down, or...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The laws aren't strict enough or whatever, and I think what really it scares people to death is that there just might not be an explanation, not one that we can come up with anyway, that there's just people out there that do this kind of thing. And it's horrible, and it's a tragedy.
But if you have trends that are going in one direction or another, you can assume that there is short-term inputs coming from our society that might be changing the behaviors.
Okay, but so this trend, you said, I believe it started picking up after COVID, right?
Well, that's just one statistic, that it went up 50% over a year and I think 100% over 2 or 3 years. So
well,
when you start to see numbers like that, you say, wow, something might be causing this. And it makes sense that shutdowns and COVID, a huge seismic shift in the way life is lived and society functions. Would that be a surprise if that caused a few people to behave in aberrant ways?
Well, because I can say it wouldn't be a surprise, that it doesn't mean it's actually a cause. And it also, because they've risen recently, well, how low were they? Were they lower before that than they had been previously? And now they're back to a certain baseline that they were at before? I don't know. I just don't think that looking at a snapshot of statistics going back 3 or 4 years is enough to tell us that there's actually a trend going on. And I think it's dangerous because people tend to go to government to solve the problem. So, hence, you have the Democrats want to take away everybody's guns, which they always do.
Well, except that I'm giving all the reasons why government is the cause.
Yeah, because you're the best. they usually are the cause. But on the right, I'm afraid, you have people saying we need to do more about mental health. Well, who's we that's going to do this stuff about mental health? Is it going to be the federal government digging into people's lives to see who they think is crazy and who might be a risk to this, and you start locking people up?
Yeah, well, so you know me, I'm not an advocate for bigger government, but the government already takes so much money for so many things that it makes a total mess of and squanders all the money and then doesn't deliver the services in an adequate way. We need to highlight that and then decide whether we could, with the stolen money that's just squandered and used for re-election, if we could make that actually provide those services in a way that's... Then we can talk about what's the right way to run our society. So I'm with you on that, Mike.
Well, we usually end up on the same page, Todd. But can I just say something about Sunny Hostin? I heard her say...
Only if you can hold on, because Sunny was a piece of work today. Michael Liebowitz.
Back to the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News
Eric
Talk
Rocky
1080.
Hill. Eric, thanks for your patience.
Yes, sir. So one thing a lot of people get wrong And that woman on the phone earlier is completely wrong about this. I think she's had some good points. But working class people are the ones who have trouble getting health care, not the poor. So you keep hearing, we keep hearing this narrative by especially Democrats and some a lot of rhinos too, about how everybody needs affordable health insurance. You know, the poor need health. No, guess what? The poor get free health care because if they have nothing, the hospital can't take anything from them. Think about it. I worked in the hospital.
Yeah, but she was making the point about beds for drug addicted people or mental health care, which I think is a different category, is it not?
No, when I worked in healthcare, it didn't matter if they had insurance or not. If they were brought there and they had a bed, they would be given a bed. I mean, maybe not every time, but what I could tell you is that that's why there are people who don't have health insurance, especially once that whole rule got changed where you had to have or you got fined, who don't have health insurance because they make deals with doctor's offices. You know, can I get a visit for this amount cash? You know, much more affordable than having health insurance. I have it because I have kids and a wife, and if something horrible happens. But
yeah,
you want to know something? A lot of us have deductibles up over $20,000 now. It's no joke.
Really? I didn't know they go that high.
Oh, yeah.
And how much does that bring down your monthly premium, do you know?
Oh, no. Our premiums goes up every year. My deductible right now is $16,000, and then there's a copay up to $25,000.
Yikes.
Yep.
That's
so
catastrophic care.
And just so you know, medications, they dropped a lot of medications that people need. A lot of you know, and it's all up to the employer, too. I realize that. You know,
no,
like,
and everyone's trying to figure out how to keep it affordable. Eric, I got to run, but thank you for the call because Reese Hopkins is here. Reese on the radio.com. Hello, Reese.
Hey, man.
Been a crazy week, has it not?
I know. It's the only subject which anyone can talk about. And you know what? It's important to get
a grip. It touches everything.
Absolutely. And look, I'm not here to talk about who's right, who's wrong, and who's talking about the right thing.
No, that's my job.
Talk about the wrong thing. Yeah, that's your job. But I'd like to, if we could, if it hasn't been talked about ad nauseum, I think we really, really have got to touch on the topic of young men and the neglect of our young men in society today.
Yeah, tell us your perspective on this.
Well, I started to realize, and I brought this up when I filled in on Tuesday, I talked about the sensitivity issue within our young people, and I think it's more prevalent in young men, that men cannot, or young men cannot channel the things that upset them or that hurt them, their feelings, without resulting in violence. You know, we got this young kid who attacked Dave Chappelle on the stage, you know, was a young early 20-something year old who says that he attacked him because he felt triggered by Dave Chappelle's jokes. The kid is also right now being charged with attempted murder for stabbing his roommate. This is a young person who thought that when someone aggrieved him in some way that he should respond with violence, as we saw in Buffalo and now in Texas, is that young men are not challenging their pain in a way that is constructive where they learn from it. And I think that is because of neglect. We have paid more attention. This isn't a sex thing or a sexist thing. We paid more attention to young women in the sense that we need to promote them and bring them up. And that is important. But we can't do that, in effect, by harming young men or ignoring young men and what it is that they need in order to succeed in society today. We've also started targeting young men using terms like toxic masculinity. Everything about a young boy cannot be toxic. Yes, boys do horseplay. Yes, boys are aggressive. But these are natural things that boys do. It's just the way that we can't alienate them and marginalize them by saying that because they're aggressive that these things are wrong. They're boys. These are things that we all grew up with, and we're taking those things away from them, and we're alienating them and insulting them in ways that how else are they supposed to fare out their aggressions, if you will, if they're always told that everything or every move that they make is wrong and they need to do something that is patently against their instincts.
What if it's more from the other side of this? So imagine if the boys are the same, pretty much.
Yeah.
And the society is sending certain messages that are just subtle enough and different enough that it would send some part of the population over a line that they wouldn't have gone over if we were setting standards and pursuing values that we used to have as standards. So you've got a kid like this who's growing up in a household that's all scrambled. There's no orderly authority figures, you know, no orderly signals of what's right and wrong. He's got access to money. He's getting in fights all the time. Does anyone punish him for this? He's not going to school, eventually drops out. Does anyone punish him for this? So you have a kid who might have, in a different era, been dealt with strictly, and instead he's left to his own devices, and his own devices are not capable of conquering the open mush of cultural malfeasance that leaves him confused about who he is and what he has available for options.
And I think you're 100% right that, but also add on the fact that this is a young Latino boy, and we see this also in the inner city with young Black boys, that accountability is tantamount to racism in these communities. To say that they must be held accountable for their actions, that they need to be punished for, now is considered racist. So they have to be dealt with kid gloves. It's the soft bigotry of low expectations. It's like saying that these boys cannot be held accountable because of the circumstances in which they grew up, or the circumstances of their race or their color. These things are bad. These things are harmful to these kids, especially if you constantly tell them that they can't be held accountable. And I also want to make one really, really important note to say, and I dealt with this. I had a young woman who's a friend of mine who was a young boy, 20 years old, who started going the wrong direction. He started working with me for a little while. And she says, I give him everything. I have a government job. He goes to college. I pay for everything that he has. Why does he go astray? And I said, you know what? You preached to him over the past 3-4 years that the police are putting a target on his back, that white people are never going to allow him to amount to anything, and the odds are stacked against him. You can't raise a kid without hope. You can't. You can't raise a kid telling him that every move that he makes is going to be met with opposition that will either kill him or destroy him. What kid would walk out into the world today and say, I'm going to make something of myself?
Sure, no, especially when you get in the larger message from the world that this country is no good and it's always been a hateful, racist country.
Exactly. There's nothing, and boys like that, again, you know, it's not a racial thing, but if you really think about that, if you're constantly reminding children, especially young people, that the American dream is dead and only the crooked get ahead and you've got no shot. The world isn't, you know, America is an awful
place. And white people are all white supremacists.
Exactly. These things are detrimental to young minds who have not fully developed and only see that negative and they go,
who would not be discouraged?
Sorry?
Who would not be discouraged?
Absolutely.
Make you want to go look for citizenship in Central America or something.
Yeah. I don't know where it is that they would go, but, you know, again, we can't continue to do this to our young people, especially our young boys. If there to be any type of future that protects and defends the people in this country or even their families, I mean, they may not even want families.
Hang on a sec, Reese. Anthony wants to jump in here.
I just wanted to say, I think what you're saying now, I was saying to my roommate yesterday, just talking about all of these situations and the narratives around young people and where we think we're going to go. And like you said, people need hope. And I think a lot of that hope is turning into revenge, really. They want revenge and they're out for vengeance. And any time someone is out for revenge, whether it's the narratives around reparations or our ancestors or how we're all slighted, corporations are working against us, doesn't matter what it is. If you go out there miserable every day and think your life's terrible and it's never going to improve because of these structures, then it won't. You have to be positive. You have to have a good outlook and you have to want peace. Anyone who wants revenge and is that upset with their own situation, I mean, that's a big reason why I think we're at this point in time.
You're 100% right. And as a, you know, as a person who grew up in this country, as a black man who said to themselves that I wasn't going to let anything or everyone in the world be the product of my success and or failure, for that matter. If we can get back to that, we start telling our young people, especially those in what we call marginalized communities, if we can get back to that, we may see a complete shift in the way that these kids grow up.
Hallelujah to that. Reese Hopkins, ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
We'll talk to you soon. That's the Reese Meister with a nice little perspective for us. He did a good job. Did he try to hook up on the thing?
Yeah, it didn't work.
Didn't work, huh? Yeah. That's pretty weird. Don't like that.
Yeah,
it
me
sounded
either.
A little better. Let's see. How much time do we have? Okay, I can play a little cut. I've been dying to play. This is from this is Joy Behar from The View today doing a little rant, and it's a correct rant. It's just only half of the story.
The Republicans in Congress right now, none of them are moving on this at all. Right. Why? Because...
She's talking about gun control.
The Republicans in Congress right now, none of them are moving on this at all. Right. Why? Because they're afraid of losing their power. Because they're...
And the money.
And
the money.
Well, the money is, of course, one of the things, but it's also their constituent in their base will not vote for them. That is really the problem, and that is an intractable problem.
Well, it's called politics. Yes, politics is an intractable problem. If your base won't vote for you, then you lose. And then somebody else comes in and represents the viewpoint that the base wants. So even having people walk the plank doesn't accomplish anything. And this happens on both sides. So understand, Joy, that you're going to be very depressed and your joy will disappear because you'll find out that this is what Democrats are doing with their big performances about how guns are the only thing, when obviously guns are just one thing.
I mean, I'd be happy if they talk about bases more. That'd probably help our narrative.
It's good. It's good they're admitting it's all about power. Just going to tell the other half of the truth.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.